State Senator Caleb Rowden joins Show Me Today. The Senate is expected to elect him as the Senate President Pro Tem in the upcoming legislative session. So he's on the show to talk about the next session a bit. Senator Rowden, thank you for joining us. I just kind of wanted to talk about what you plan to prioritize in the upcoming session.
Well, we have, you know, a lot of things that we're interested in. We had our Republican caucus in Branson just a few weeks ago, and that's an annual event that we have to talk about, you know, just the upcoming year and individual priorities and caucus priorities. And so, you know, that was a good couple of days for us. We've had some things that were probably left over from last year. Obviously, the MAP conversation took up some bandwidth last year. And so we've got, an ongoing conversation on education reform slash parental bill of rights slash maybe something in the curriculum transparency space that I think we've continued to have ongoing discussions on throughout the interim that we talked about at caucus. I think the initiative petition discussion is one that I think we'll have this year. I personally am not interested in, you know, trying to find really cumbersome ways to take the voice of Missourians away. I do think maybe raising the threshold for what it takes to change our Constitution, given some of the things that now are in our Constitution that have no business being there. You know, I think that's a conversation worth having. The transgender sports conversation is one that was left outstanding from last year and one that I'm sure we'll talk about. I think we've had some ongoing discussions, and clearly this is going to be a pretty good budget year. At least I think we have one or two more of those before, you know, life gets back to normal. But, we want to do some family supporting stuff, investments in adoption, investments in foster care, just trying to find ways to make the lives of everyday Missourians, a little bit better relative to families and the family structure. So, there's a lot of, I think those are things that I know we've talked about with various caucus members, and I'm sure there'll be other things that'll rise to the top as we get going.
Are there any items that are really the most immediate that need to be dealt with during the session?
I think the stuff that just kind of the way that the building works, if there's stuff that's years old, so stuff that we've been working on for a few years. So I think, you know, some of those first things that I discussed, IP reform, is something that I know the incoming speaker is really passionate about, and something that he tried to make a hard pitch and a hard sell on last year. So, I think that's a fairly immediate issue. I think the other things, the transports issue, the CRT issue, some of those other things, I think are we feel like there's a sense of urgency. Probably nothing that has a hard timeline. Obviously, like the MAP last year, knowing we had to get that done in a certain period of time. But there's things that we've been working on for 2 or 3 years that we probably think it's past time. I think some tort reform that I think we've been working on for a couple of years probably is going to rise to the top. So that's just kind of the nature of the Senate and that's kind of the nature of the building. It's sometimes you get stuff done in a year. Sometimes it's going to take 2 or 3.
Where does sports betting fall into the mix?
Yeah, I've actually failed to mention that in a lot of interviews I've done, just because it's something that I think everybody knows we're interested in. The path is probably not any easier than it has been relative to kind of that VLT conversation that's been ongoing in tandem with sports betting. But I think there's more pressure on us now. Kansas has passed it. All our surrounding neighbors have passed it. And so I've said it a few times. We just kind of look foolish now. So we're gonna make a strong effort on that. Make sure we try to get it in and out of committee quickly. I know a few different bills have been filed, or at least a couple that I know of. And so we'll get those referred and try to get those out and try to find a path. I can't say I know exactly what the path is, relative to what ends up being in the final bill. But, I think it's it's long past time for us to get it done and check the box and take it off our plate.
Can you elaborate on what the tort measures that you're interested in focusing on would be, and then also the investments in adoption and foster care, what that might look like?
Yeah, so tort reform last year, statute of limitations, which right, in Missouri currently we have on certain types of offenses, we have one of the actually I think the longest statute of limitations, 5 years. There's very few states that have five. Most states have three or two. And so there was an effort last year. Senator Hageman, now soon to be former Senator Hageman, had filed and had kind of championed that issue. That's just obviously designed to provide some clarity and stability to the litigation process. So that's one. There's some new stuff I think out there. There's always a bunch of tort reforms that are floating out there from various places. There's some new stuff related to innovator liability and just kind of with new technology coming online and various generic models and third parties that are using similar technology, and who, if there's issues with that, who ends up ultimately getting sued. So that's a that probably is a multi-year conversation. I do think the statute of limitations one now, we've been working on it for a few years and probably something that's going to rise to the top. The adoption stuff I think is something that really is an interest of mine. I think we have a really unique opportunity on the back end of the Dobbs decision being made at the Supreme Court. Changes to our law relative to abortion, and we get Republicans, I think, and sometimes maybe rightfully so, get a bad rap for only being pro-life, in certain instances relative to kind of the various stages of a kid's development and a kiddo's development. And I think there are a bunch of things that we can do whenever that. Obviously, we care about the development of that child ever before they come out of the womb, but we also should care about the continued development of that child as they're growing up. And so there's some instances where clearly adoption is always, and you hear it over and over again. I've got friends who've gone through the process. It's a really cumbersome process. It's a really expensive process. I think we need to find ways to kind of try to fix both of those realities to the greatest extent possible. And so we're looking at that. We're looking at ways to, again, just try to find ways to value families. And our foster care system is better than it was, but there's still a lot of issues. There's still a lot of, just regulatory realities and understaffing issues. And there's a whole host of things that you can point to and point blame to. But I think it's incumbent upon us at the legislative level, to the extent we can, with dollars that we've got and some other resources, just to try to find ways to shore up that process so that the kids are in that are in that system, and the families that are a part of that system, feel as much value as they possibly can. So those are ongoing conversations relative to the specifics. But I think the ultimate goal is just to try to put our money where our mouth is relative to valuing kids and valuing families.
State Senator Caleb Rowden joins Show Me Today. I'm Elisa Nelson, and the Senate is expected to elect him as the Senate President Pro Tem in the upcoming legislative session. So he's on the show to talk a little bit about the next session. You were talking about the budget. Do you have a can you shed some light on what the state budget outlook looks like for the next fiscal year?
Yeah, so the governor just came out in tandem with the House and the Senate. We go through a collective, collaborative process every year to come up with a consensus revenue estimate, which is really just an agreement that economists and our folks speak to as to how much we think the economy is going to grow or how much it's going to retract. And so they're aiming at, I think, somewhere in the 0.7 to 1% area of growth over the course of the next year. We still have roughly around $6 billion of surplus from previous years. Some of that is federal money. Some of that is the overcorrection that we made a couple of years ago in the wake of COVID and not knowing for sure what kind of long-term impact COVID was going to have on the economy. And so we've got a bunch of one-time money there that we're working on, trying to find ways to invest. I think it's important for us to not be naive or foolish or lie to ourselves and think that we're going to be, in this flush position for a long period of time. This is a short-term reality, but it's a reality nonetheless. It allows us, the opportunity to make some really important investments and to, the things that matter. So infrastructure and, rural broadband and some of these things that we've really tried to prioritize over the course of the last few years. Those are, sometimes the rural broadband thing, I think, has become kind of a good thing to do, kind of a sexy thing to do, for lack of a better word. But there's some of these investments that you make that are just things that you do because they're the right thing to do, not because they're the politically expedient thing to do. So we're trying to find that balance and make sure that, the one-time money that we've got, we don't squander, we just don't use on pet projects for us to, advance our political careers, but that we're really looking out for the best interest of the state. So this year and next, I assume will be, pretty good budget years, and then we'll just see what the economy does, right? I think, beyond that, we're probably fully past COVID, fully past, any of the financial benefits or consequences of the COVID window of time, back in 2020. And so then we're going to really understand what our new normal is. And the new normal is seems to be interesting in that, unemployment is incredibly low, but businesses are having a really, really hard time finding people. I hear it literally every day, whether it's, interactions that people have with me in my official role or just going to a restaurant and the restaurant having to close early or change their hours because of workforce issues. That is just an ongoing, it seems to be, I hope it's not a permanent reality, but certainly is one that doesn't seem to be going away anytime soon. So we've just got to wrestle with what, what that means for our economy and what the state can be doing to try to move us back the right direction, whether it's a financial investment or, some sort of public policy. So that's a multi-year, really involved discussion that I think we don't quite know the answer to just yet.
And our state workforce has been dealing with some worker shortages during this pandemic era. And I know in Nebraska for the past year or so, it has been offering bonuses within the Missouri Department of Corrections to recruit correctional officers. $20,000 is the bonus. And I would assume that there are restrictions on that, like you have to work so long, otherwise you pay some of that back. But what I'm curious about, I don't even know if there's a ban on bonuses here in Missouri, but if there is, should I'm just curious if we should be offering bonuses as a way to attract people so that we can deal with some of these staffing shortages. So should we have bonuses, or should we change, if there is a ban, should we change it so that there's not a ban?
Well, I mean, I think everything has to be on the table is the easy answer, and probably the right answer. I don't believe that there's any sort of I don't know the public policy relative to bonuses in the state, but I do think, and I know the governor's been working, especially the corrections issues one that's probably, I would assume, is existent everywhere, with and we've had a really, really hard time with keeping corrections folks around for obvious reasons, but it is it's an all hands on the deck, everything's on the table sort of exercise, because you have and we're seeing it even at the Senate staff level. People are finding different jobs, better jobs, things that pay a little bit more, things that the hours are a little bit better. There's just a ton of movement from one industry to the next going on right now. There's a lot, law enforcement's having a hard time keeping folks, and even in Columbia we hear examples all the time of law enforcement folks that have been there sometimes for, a decade or more that are just, tearing down the tent and going to work for Veterans United or Equipment Share or these other places, just private sector folks in Columbia. That's a real reality in the state, and the state workforce is no exception. So I think we've got to find a way, whether it's bonuses, whether it's just, finding a way to pay them more, in certain instances, making sure that the folks that are, doing a great job are getting paid like they're doing a great job. I think all that stuff has to be on the table because it's a problem that doesn't seem to be, moving the right direction anytime soon.
Curious, what about any transportation related items that might be focused on in the next session? And I'm curious what you think of using some of the budget surplus to widen I-70.
Well, I think there will always have we'll always have transportation discussions. I think we've started, and obviously that's been a priority of the governor's since he came into office, and has really just continued to beat that drum. And I think it's been incredibly effective as far as the things that we've accomplished. There's some programs that I really like relative to using some general revenue, the 50-50 match, the cost share program that allows the state to match local dollars for, local one-time projects, whether that be bridges or road repairs or road additions, et cetera. I think the flaw in the plan on using large amounts of the surplus for a job like such a big undertaking like expanding or improving I-70 is that you're just shouldering, Missourians are shouldering the entire load. Whereas if it's any other kind of mechanism, whether it be the gas tax or something new that would happen to toll road or something like that, you're going to get 40 to 45% of that income is going to be from people out of the state because we know that's what the traffic flow looks like on I-70. So to make Missourians pay for 100% as opposed to paying for 60% is a little bit short-sighted in my view. I don't think it's not a feasible solution anyway legislatively. I just think there's a tremendous amount of opposition to it for that reason. Really, in addition to maybe some others, but. It's a problem we've got to fix. I just don't think saddling Missourians with the entire load is probably the right answer to the question when there are some other answers that don't do that.
With a $6 billion surplus, roughly, do you plan to come back with some sort of additional income tax cut plan that didn't get finished up? Last year or this year, I guess. Whoops. If so, what might that look like?
We haven't had a ton. We didn't talk a lot in our caucus about income tax cuts. We did talk a lot about the really weird reality of values, personal property tax, used car values. There's some really significant and it just seems to be almost irrational jumps in the value of certain things, whether it be land or used cars. And so I do think we're gonna probably take a look at that and figure out, okay, is there a way that we can ease that burden on Missourians? I think that's the burden probably they're feeling more than anything else right now. I mean, Missouri, I think, it's okay for me to say, even though I like the idea of cutting taxes whenever we can, Missouri is a pretty low tax state, as it is, but we do have some kind of those kind of under the hood things. I think personal property tax is one of them. There's a bunch of local taxes. We have more taxing jurisdictions in the state than any other state in the country. So, it's kind of the death by a thousand cuts sort of thing. So it might be an instance where we're looking at some of those other things, and maybe trying to find ways to streamline the tax process for Missourians. I guess I wouldn't say income tax cuts or things, bigger, broader things like that are out of the question by any means. But I do think the personal property tax seems to be with some of the conversations we've had with the House as well, just seems to be kind of at the top of a lot of folks' list right now because I think it's the thing that we're hearing from our constituents on.
Are you talking about things like changing the deadline and a payment plan or anything like that?
Not yet. That hasn't been a part of the discussion up until now. I mean, I think it's really just trying to find ways to, you know, on the personal property tax front, we're you know, they're just seeing these huge 20-30% jumps, and clearly that has a tremendous impact on you know, just folks that are the folks that are making $40,000 to $60,000 a year for a family of two or three. And their used car, which is not by any rational measure, is not increasing in value, but as it relates to personal property tax, somehow is. You know, that doesn't make a lot of sense to us, and so I think those are the things that we're trying to kind of the nuts and bolts type stuff that we're going to take a look at.
Yeah, I just feel like the end of the year is such a bad time to be asking for such a substantial increase. So that's why.
Yeah, that I agree with.
Yeah, it's just bad timing. Is there anything, State Senator Caleb Rowden joining Show Me today, and he's on to talk about the next legislative session, just right around the corner. Is there anything that's off the table?
Oh boy, I mean, I'm sure there is. I'd shudder to say anything out loud. you know, sessions are always, especially the beginning of a new General Assembly. Obviously, we have eight new senators. You know, we think we know what the issues are, and then it usually from the beginning of session until you know, the middle and the end, there's usually a few things that pop up. But you know, I think we're going to continue. The Republican majority has been consistent and has been steady, you know, for as long as this is going to be my 11th and 12th years in the legislature. We've had a veto-proof Republican majority since I arrived in the House back in 2012. You know, we've kind of been pretty consistent in what we've done. I think people know now what we're about, what we're trying to do. You know, we are you know, going to make sure that folks their taxes are low, regulations on businesses are reasonable and make sense. You know, we're going to try to keep the litigation environment where it needs to be. I think we're passionate about defending the unborn. We're passionate about defending, you know, Missourians' First and Second Amendment rights, among others. You know, I think those are the things that we've been pretty consistent about. You know, those things manifest themselves a little bit different from year to year, just kind of based on what the things that people are prioritizing are. But I would expect us to, you know, continue going down that road. So anything that doesn't fall in that category is probably going to have a tough climb. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what, you know, kind of what the ebb and flow and the kind of momentum of the Senate, where it takes us early in session, and hopefully we can get to May and you know, be proud of the stuff that we've accomplished this year.
Last year, I guess the last legislative session, it just seemed like there wasn't the water under the bridge from the previous session. You know, there were some folks seemed to have a chip on their shoulder from the previous session. Do you feel like you're in a better place now moving forward into the next session?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think we, you know, like I said, there's, you know, almost a quarter of the Senate turned over. And so we have a lot of new folks in there. I think those folks, most of them came from the House. Six out of eight came from the House, so they were watching some of the stuff that happened in the Senate, but weren't directly a part of it. So I think they come in with fresh blood. I think they come in with a kind of a fresh outlook, and I don't know of any of them. Obviously, I've met them all now. I've spent extended periods of time with all of them, and I don't think any of them are coming in with a burn the place down mentality, you know, and so I'm optimistic. I think, you know, we're going to have days where we are off. We're going to have days where Republicans are fighting Democrats, and probably a few days where Republicans are fighting Republicans. But You know, that is what it is. I think if the conflicts are based on policy, we're always going to be fine. We'll always get where we need to get to. It doesn't mean we accomplish everything, but that's okay because this is not supposed to be, it's not supposed to be easy to do these things, especially in the Senate. It's supposed to be difficult. So that part doesn't bother me at all. I think if we make the conflicts about, you know, personalities and individuals and motivations and prescribe motivation to actions and those sorts of things, that's where we can get in, you know, some pretty hot water in the Senate. So I'm optimistic. You know, it doesn't mean that we won't have some tough moments, but I think for the most part we've kind of collectively decided, hey, you know, the people sent us here not to argue, not to care more about ourselves than the greater good, and so we're going to work together to try to bring that to pass.
Should we expect debate on whether to ban women from going out of state to get an abortion?
I mean, from my perspective, it's not something that I don't think we have the ability to do it, and that's my individual belief. We haven't talked a whole lot about it. We didn't talk a lot about that particular kind of aspect of the pro-life realm when we spoke at our caucus a few weeks ago. You know, I'd prefer to be more focused on the things that we know are going to have a tangible impact, you know, on families and on kids. You know, some of the things about adoption, some of the things relative to foster care. You know, Elaine Gannon, Senator Gannon, has legislation that would expand Medicaid coverage for a full year for moms in certain instances, which I think has really, really interesting broad support amongst a whole host of pro-life and you know, more left-leaning organizations. I mean, I think those are the things that you know, from my perspective, relative to kids and the pro-life cause, the pro-life movement, I think those are the things that we'll probably be focused on this year.
That's State Senator Caleb Rowden. This is Show Me Today, the voice of Missouri.